Well, good morning. Dear brothers and sisters, praise the Lord. Appreciate that opening, Brother Luke. Do we take the stranger into our hearts? I was reminded of that recently with some that we had living in our home. You know, the appreciation they showed and that they shared that we took them into our hearts, not just in our house, not just in our dwelling place, but in our hearts. And let's consider that. I was a stranger, Jesus said. I sometimes view that as saying he lives inside of some of these strangers that come our way. Did you take me in? Amen. So that's appreciate that opening. I so appreciate what Luke shared with the youth as well a few weeks ago. And I just thought it'd be a blessing if he could share with the whole congregation. Let's remember, you know, when there's strangers come in among us, to welcome them, to make them feel like they're one of us, as one born in our own house, or one of our own in our own church here. That's the principle that is being brought out there, I believe. Okay, well, let's stand for a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the message here. Father, we do love you this morning. We thank you, God, we thank you, Lord, for the principles of your word. Thank you, Father, for the joy of serving you, for the joy of serving others, Lord, whether it's someone in prison or a stranger or someone sick or just the everyday things around us, Lord. You want us to be involved in serving and in taking them into our hearts, Lord. And so, Father, give us grace as a congregation in this area of the stranger, Lord, to take them in, God. And to realize, Lord, your desire for us, Lord, to show a stranger the warmth of Christ, the warmth of our love for you, Lord, and that love reaching out to them, oh God. So, Father, I pray now that you'd bless the further service here, Lord. I pray that you would give me grace to preach your word. Father, give me grace to feed this congregation, and I pray, Lord, that your word would be broken down in such a way, Father, that we could all receive it and go home, Lord, having been edified, strengthened with vision on our heart, Lord, and having heard your voice in our spirit, Lord, this morning. We trust you for this, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, as you all know as a congregation, or maybe I do need to remind you all that this coming weekend we have a time of fasting and prayer. And so I think we recommend starting maybe Thursday noon till Sunday, a 3-day fast till Sunday noon, and we'll break our fast during with a fellowship meal here. So that's what God laid on my heart. I was here at the prayer meeting yesterday morning, and Brother Emmanuel began to pray about this coming weekend, and the Lord just quickened me and just put on my heart the need to share a message on fasting. So I'm going to do that by the grace of God. When we consider fasting, what do we consider? Do we consider it as a command of the Lord, or do we look at it as something optional? I'm not sure how we view fasting. You know, some of us may look at it as something that's optional. It's not necessarily a direct command, but let's turn the Bible to Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, and I'll just read those three verses there, which we're all familiar with. It says, Moreover, when ye fast, verse 16, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The first point I'd like to bring out here is Jesus. I mean, it's basically a conclusive statement here. You know, he says, moreover, when ye fast. It appears like Jesus, you know, Christ, when He brings forth these words, He just takes for granted that we understand that fasting is a part of the Christian life. It says, when ye fast, when ye fast. So I'd like to bring that upon our heart. You know, I believe it's good for us as a congregation to enter into seasons of fasting and prayer. I believe it's very good for us. It's good to my heart. I know when I fast, my spiritual senses are sharpened. And so let's consider that. You know, as we enter this weekend, it's a weekend of fasting and prayer. And in the Old Testament, they proclaimed fast. I mean, they gave proclamation. And I'll get into some of that. There was proclamations made to the assembly, to the congregation, that it's time to enter into a time of fasting, to a season of fasting and prayer. So maybe I'll just ask this question again. You know, what does fasting do? I do believe it sharpens our spiritual senses. I find that in my life continuously when I fast. I mean, I desire to fast more than I do, but I find that when I fast, my spiritual senses are sharpened, and the power of God is, I don't know, there's just a power there in the inner man that I'm strengthened with during a fast. And I don't understand all the physical and spiritual dynamics of it all, but should we? Should we as a congregation, all of us together, can we as a congregation enter into a weekend of fasting and prayer? Entering into a weekend of seeking the Lord? Can we engage ourselves and proclaim a fast? Can we do that as elders? I mean, can we give that to us all as elders? A weekend proclaiming a fast, a time and a season of seeking the Lord, of humbling ourselves before our God and seeking His face. Yes, for maybe needs in our midst, but maybe just ministering to the Lord also. I mean, Paul and who was it? When Paul and Barnabas were sent out from Antioch there, it says they ministered to there was men that were ministering to the Lord in their fasting and prayer. So let's come in that attitude also, a giving unto the Lord. Yes, we desire to receive and we desire to maybe have some needs met among us. Let's come with the spirit of giving. Giving to the Lord, giving to each other. Let's care. Can we enter in and care for each other as a body, like Brother Luke was bringing out? You know, care for one another is, and this matter of fasting, I believe, is a matter of care. We fast often because there's sometimes deep things among us, sometimes things that we need answers for, sometimes a situation that needs an answer, or an individual. Can we give that kind of care and love one to another this weekend as we enter into fasting and prayer, a care for the body that we're a part of? And through fasting and prayer, I believe this care can be given. Okay, I'd like to bring out several reasons why I believe we should be entering into a fast. I'd like to give several reasons this morning why I believe we as a congregation, that this is a good time for us to, that God is calling us to a time and a season of fasting and prayer. I believe it, as I pondered and thought over our congregation, I believe God is calling us to this. I believe God is calling us to a time of setting us, a time that we set aside, that we, you know, pull apart from work and things of that nature, and that we focus in. That we press in and we focus in on seeking the Lord. Humbling ourselves before our God. Anyway, several reasons for fasting. Reason number one, and you only know your heart and life here this morning. I mean, yes, maybe we know each other to an extent, but only you know maybe some of the struggles that are in your life. Maybe some of the things that you're facing personally. And I'd like to give reason number one for personal sanctity. Reason number one for personal sanctity. You know, for personal sanctification, maybe there's things in your life you know you're working through. You know you're struggling through. You know it's a besetting sin that you keep struggling with and sometimes falling into. I believe that there's a powerful dynamic in fasting. As we seek the Lord, push aside those things that, you know, our normal day is filled with, and one of those is eating and taking in the necessary, nourishment of our bodies. As we push that aside, focus in. I believe a great personal sanctity and sanctification can take place in your life. You're my life. Let's turn to Deuteronomy for this scripture. Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3. Just like to show us in Deuteronomy 8 here, you know, I know this doesn't necessarily bring out fasting, but it does say about hunger. It says all the commandments, let's start in verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in to possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. There's something that goes along with hunger. And I believe that is humility. He says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord shall man live. And God's heart is this morning that we learn to live by every word. We live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's the heart of God, that we, and during times of fasting and prayer, like I said, I find God's Word being much more active and alive and quickened to my spirit. And that was the purpose of the children of Israel. It says, He suffered them to hunger. He suffered them to hunger and to so that they might be at a place of humility. Now, often they didn't pass the test during those times. They would grumble and complain and murmur. And yes, we can go through fasts like that where we're just kind of going through the motions and, you know, it's a drudgery going through a fast. I mean, we can go through it that way. I mean, it is hard on the flesh. It's my flesh doesn't look forward to fasting. I just admit that. But here Moses said, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. Why? That man might learn to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. And I believe that can be our experience. If you're at a place here this morning, you're struggling in your Christian walk and you need some personal sanctification, enter into this fast with that in mind, that God can purify those things out of your life. God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. As you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, God is able, and more than able, I mean, He's very desirous to sanctify that area of your life. He desires with all the desire of His heart, He desires to conform us into the image of His Son. You know, the opposite, if you go to Ezekiel 16, you don't have to turn there, but I'll just share. The opposite of hunger, here we see the testimony that Ezekiel had concerning Sodom and Gomorrah. It says here in verse chapter 16, verse 49, this was the testimony of Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen to this. Says, and behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread. I'm sorry, I lost it here. This was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, Brother Luke. You know, when you have fullness of bread, there's a selfishness there. There tends to be a selfishness when we're just living when in this abundant America, it does us good to humble ourselves before our God. We live in America where we can fill our stomachs. And that was the problem with Sodom. The testimony of Sodom was that they were filled with fullness of bread. They were filled with pride. But fullness of bread, I believe, is also goes hand in hand with pride. And there's constant fullness of bread. But where there's hunger, the principle in Deuteronomy it brings out there that with hunger comes humility. So it's good for us to remember these things. So I just want to recommend, you know, Ezra proclaimed a fast, and we'll turn to that later. Ezra proclaimed a fast. He said, I proclaim a fast that we might humble ourselves before our God. You know, when I usually think, you know, God, there's two ways we can get humble. There's two ways we can be humbled, I believe. One way is we can be humbled by God. He can bring us to a place of humility. But I think the better way is to humble ourselves before our God. In fact, the Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. So I believe one way, one powerful way of humbling ourselves before the Lord is to afflict ourselves in fasting. It just simply brings that out there in Ezra. He says, let me say it again. Ezra said, I proclaim the fast that we might humble ourselves before our God. You know, to the devout Israelite, fasting meant humbling. And it also, you know, fasting seems to go close together with mourning. I mean, Jesus said in the parable or the words that He brought out there about the bridegroom, when the bridegroom is not here. Well, let me just turn to that. It's in Matthew 9. I just want to show us the principle of fasting and that is coupled together with mourning. Matthew chapter 9. In verse 14 of chapter 9, it says, Then came to Him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast. But anyway, we see that coupled together with fasting is mourning. That principle is clearly brought out. That with fasting, there's a mourning, there's a time of our hearts being in sobriety before the Lord, our God, and seeking His face, humbling ourselves before Him. Time of mourning. Maybe over your sin, maybe the thing that you're struggling with in your Christian life. Allow yourself to be at a place of mourning before the Lord. Mourning. Humbling yourself before God. Praise God. The Bible says, Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. In Samuel, fasting again, 1 Samuel chapter 31. You don't have to turn there, but this is just a scripture I wanted to read. This was Saul, the body of Saul and his sons when they were killed in battle. It says, And they took their bones and buried them under a tree in Jabesh and fasted 7 days. So there we see the principle again. Often with death comes mourning. And here they fasted. Somehow they, you know, fasting again, it shows that it's coupled together with mourning. Mourning. You know, we don't know much. I don't think we know much about mourning sometimes in this land that we live in. When we were in Africa as missionaries, my wife and I, we saw mourning. I mean, real mourning. Brother Darrell, Rodney, brother, your brother Darrell and I, we were living there together at in the little house there along. What was the name of that road? One evening, somebody came to our house and wanted us to take what I thought was the chief. I was in the shower at the time. What I thought was the chief to the hospital there. And I misunderstood the thing a little bit, and so I told my wife, ask if Daryl can do it, and because I was, like I said, I was in the shower, and we had a pickup truck there. And anyway, Daryl went to get the chief, and, well, the chief thought he had sent his runner, to, you know, to inquire of us if we could take him to the hospital. So he thought, yeah, I have the sniffles a little bit, maybe I need to go to the hospital. So he went, and after a while, we all realized, after I got out of the shower, another runner came to our door and said, why are you not coming? And I realized that we had gotten the wrong chief. It was like a sub-chief that was in need. And so anyway, so I quickly sent the runner over to the hospital to tell Daryl that it's someone else that is in great need. Right, and this sub-chief was right next door. So anyway, he came and took the sub-chief to the hospital. He was a very prominent man in town. I would often sit with him, and he was very good in his English. And but anyway, Daryl quickly rushed into the hospital, and lo and behold, he died. He had a stroke, and he might have been dead when he got there, but he died. And well, we were right next door, so we observed the whole thing after they brought the body back. I have never seen such mourning in my life. It's a scene I will never forget. I'll just never forget. I mean, the women came with their faces covered and just mourned over that body, over that man that had just died. I guess as I think of our time of fasting and prayer, you know, do we really know what it means to mourn? God wants to bring us to that place where sometimes we know what it means to mourn before our God. Concerning our own souls, concerning the souls of those around us, concerning our own needs, we know what it means to mourn. Mourn. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, it says, Daniel chapter 9, turn there quickly, 9, verse 2 and 3. I'm sorry, verse 3. It says, and this was Daniel's testimony. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Picture of mourning. Picture of humbling oneself before God. We read that again. And Daniel and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications, which is beggings. Begging the Lord. Pleading with Him. Interceding. I set my face before the Lord, unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Picture of mourning. Humbling oneself. Of admitting one's need. So I just want to recommend to you this morning, if you're at a place personally in your personal life where you're struggling with sin or you have a besetting area of need in your life, I want to recommend this. A time of mourning. A time of seeking the face of the Lord. A time of humbling yourself before God. You know, God comes in seasons, brothers and sisters. He comes in seasons. He says, this is it. How does it say in one place? So much about the accepted time. When it is an accepted time, that's the time we can come before Him and have the needs of our life met. You know, I remember one time, and I'll just share this. I remember, and I was a stranger in that church, Brother Luke. I was at a church in Weavertown, Beachy Church, and I was struggling with salvation. I was struggling with assurance of salvation. And that evening, the evangelist there had a powerful message concerning those who are doubting their salvation. God was calling me that night. I know He was. I was a stranger in the church, and I just didn't know. And many were stepping forward. I didn't know how to step. I didn't quite know, you know,
Do I want to step forward or don't I? I held back. But how I desired to have the need of my soul met. So next evening I went again. And this time he had a little bit of a different message. I responded to the altar call. And it wasn't the same. That same sensing wasn't there. Like it was the evening before. And I struggled with doubts of salvation, various doubts for years. And I can look back and say, if only I would have responded that night. I believe God might have met the need of my heart that very night. So I just want to say to you, let's look at this as an accepted time. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It might be the time that God wants to meet the very need of your heart that you've been desiring and longing for Him to meet. The accepted time. Accepted time. Don't miss it. James 4 on this point yet. James chapter 4. We all struggle sometimes with sin. And here's an antidote. Here's a cure. Here's a key to victory, if I can say. Look at this in verse 4, chapter 4. Here it's the spirit of lust. It's the sin of, it's the sin of envy. But I don't think it has to stop at the sin of envy this morning. It can be any given sin. You name it. This principle is applicable. Here it says, Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Then God gives the principle. Then God brings out what to do. The path to take when you're in a place of need, when you're in a place where you're struggling with sin. In this case, it was envy, but it could be any given sin, like I said. But it says here in verse 6, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore, He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. Let's draw nigh to God, brothers and sisters. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. I just want to say this morning, this is a very clear directive from God. Very, very clear directive on how we can take a path, how we can how we can enter into a humbling of the heart and thus receiving the grace of God to overcome that besetting sin. An area that you grapple with and struggle with and that continues to get you, to bring you into a place of defeat. I believe this is a very clear directive from God, a very clear principle, if you may, from God's Word. But I like what it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. This morning, my brother and sister, this first point was on personal sanctity or sanctification. And I just want to recommend this. I want to recommend this, brothers and sisters, if you're at a place of struggle, get to a place where you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord this week. His promise is He will lift you up. If it's coupled with faith, like our brother was sharing here in the children's lesson, let it be coupled with faith, expectancy, expecting God. Let's expect Him this weekend to do even things beyond what we are able to ask or think. Brother Dwight, I love how you bring that out at times. Above what we're able to ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. That Holy Ghost that is within us is the same power. The Bible says that same power that is within us is the same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. What is exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe? Let's believe God this week. Enter into this time of fasting and prayer and believe God to do the impossible even in our hearts and lives and in our midst. I believe God wants to do those things. Let's enter into it in believing. Prayer and faith, coupled with fasting and humbling ourselves before the Lord. I believe we have the opportunity for great grace to be poured out upon us. Great grace. Okay, let's go on. Why should we fast? Point number two. I thought about this as I was preparing yesterday. I thought, this is a great opportunity for you parents to fast. You're going through a parental class with Brother Paul, class on parenting. And I thought this is a good opportunity for you to enter into fasting. Let's go to Ezra. Many of us know that scripture, but in Ezra was seeking a way for the company that was with him. Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. These are the words of Ezra. Then I proclaimed the fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God. Look at that. That we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. And brothers and sisters, we should be ashamed to... And I think sometimes, with some of our needs, we run to counselors, we run to even maybe psychologists and the world's counsel, if you may. Let's seek the Lord. I mean, one of His names is He's called the Wonderful, the Counselor. The Counselor. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him, but His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated of us. Praise God. He was entreated of them. And that's what I'd like to just bear my heart in this area this morning, that as parents, we face things. And maybe you as young couples this morning, you're not facing things at this point. But I would encourage you to enter into this time of fasting and prayer, seeking the Lord for a right way for you and for your little ones that are coming on. Some of you young couples, you're at a place of just having your first child soon, or maybe you just have one or two toddlers. The needs don't look great at that time. They don't look as great as they do when they grow up to be teenagers. Then there's sometimes more to work through, especially if you have not prepared your children as they're growing. Ezra says, I proclaim the fast at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us. A right way for us. And I think it's a good time for all of us, but I just want to address you young couples for a minute. It's a good time for you to enter into fasting and prayer, realizing that all is vain unless the Spirit of God leads out in our home. Unless the Spirit of the living God leads the way in my home, all is vain. I need the Lord, and it's a good time for you to humble yourself before your God and say, Lord, I need You in my home. I have three souls, eternal souls, under my care. I have two toddlers, or I have one in the womb who's on its way. It's a good time to seek the Lord for a right way for your little ones. To humble yourself before God and say, Lord, I want to train my children. I want to direct them in a right path. They don't have to experience the sin and darkness and corruption. This world. I think it's a good time to enter into fasting for us as parents. But I thought about this morning. Maybe some of you are at a place in your home. you see where you failed. You have a child maybe that is not doing well, or you know, has gone into maybe the path of sin. Thought about this. In Mark, if you want to turn there, turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Here was a father. We know the story here. A father who had a son who was demon-possessed. And oftentimes it threw him into the water and into the fire. And this son was at a place. This son was at a place. The father hardly knew what to do anymore. The father was at his wit's end. He didn't know what to do anymore. And he called on the disciples to be able to somehow deal with the son there. And the disciples, it says, and one of the multitude... let me see where I want to break in here. But anyway, in chapter 17, it says, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered them and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him up by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come unto the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And I just like to say this morning, you know, here was a father, here was a parent who was at his wit's end. He no longer knew what to do with the situation he was in with his son. If I guess right, none of you even have a situation that is that dire in your home. To where the child is demon possessed and he's throwing himself across the ground and you know, wants to throw himself into fire and drown himself in water. So take courage as you look at this passage of scripture, as you look at this story. I believe there's hope for everyone. There's hope for each one of us when we think of needs in our home. When we think of needs in my life as a parent, maybe. So I want to recommend to you time of fasting and prayer also for you parents that maybe you see needs in your own life. Maybe you see needs in a child. That it's a time of mourning and weeping. It's a time again of coming before the Lord and seeking His face. For your home. Like I mentioned earlier, everyone under your care has an eternal soul. We'll end up somewhere. But even beyond that, we want our children to live for the glory of God. Not just to go through this life halfway in the kingdom or just half-hearted in their Christian life. I believe you all as parents want children that are living for the glory of God and His kingdom. So I recommend to us a time of fasting, prayer, and seeking the face of God for a right way, brother, sister, for a right way, parent, for you and for your little ones. For you and for your little ones. A right way. They sought the face of God. They humbled themselves that God would give them a right way for them and for their little ones.
Ezra, again, these words. Ezra said, "So we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated of us." He was entreated. So you as a parent this morning, you have the opportunity this weekend for the Lord to be entreated, for you to seek the face of God and for God to be entreated for you and your situation, your family and home. Again, I'd just like to reemphasize verse 23. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The Father even cried out, "Lord, if I have unbelief, please help me." He wanted help. He was desperate. He says, "If I have unbelief, help thou mine unbelief." He wanted to be at a place of believing. And I believe he did. He came to a place where he believed that Christ Jesus, even though the disciples couldn't deliver him, I believe he came to a place in his heart he believed that Christ Jesus was able to deliver that son from his seizures and his demonic activity in his life. Expectancy. That's expectancy. An expectant heart believing God. "Lord, I believe you that you will touch my situation. You will touch down upon my situation." Okay, point number three. Let's turn to Isaiah 58. I want to read just a portion here in Isaiah 58. We all know this scripture here, the fasting passage of scripture in the Old Testament, which is, you know, brings out the principle of fasting quite clearly. Anyway, in verse 6 it says, in chapter 58 of Isaiah, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bringest the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Brother and sister, I want to point that out. Let's not hide ourselves from our own flesh, from those in need among us, as we consider this time. One of the needs among us is, the next verse, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine house shall spring forth speedily." And I like to think of him speaking to Israel in this way, that as you collectively fast, there may be those among you who are at a place of breakdown in health. And I believe fasting is a powerful, there's a powerful dynamic in fasting of bringing about health in someone, health and healing. Whether through a miracle, I don't know, or whether through your own body somehow receiving strength to heal itself, I don't know how all that works. But I believe there is a power and a dynamic as we fast together, care for one another in our midst. Brother and sister, we have a sister and a brother and a few among us who are in a great place of great breakdown of health. Can we enter into this time seeking the face of God, humbling ourselves before the Lord, saying, "Lord, would you, in your mercy, reach down and restore. Bring about health. Bring about healing." I mean, there it is. It says, again, let me just bring out the verse. "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine house shall spring forth speedily." not just a gradual healing for the next 5 years. It says it shall spring forth speedily. So I just want to bring that out this morning as another reason that I believe we should be entering into fasting and prayer. We have those among us who we know their names. There's been a breakdown of health. Some of them have been long-standing. Let's give ourselves. Let's enter in to a time of fasting and prayer and humbling ourselves before God for these needs and saying, "Lord, please have mercy." I know we could say, you know, God uses sickness to chastise and He has His various purposes. I understand that. But isn't it time that we seek Him maybe in a way where it's not just the Lord's will be done, but earnestly seeking God and saying, "Lord, these are needs. These are genuine needs. These are mothers, fathers, children, who need their parent. Yes, the grace of God is being evident in their lives. Praise God. But I'd like us to pull aside and focus in on some of these needs among us. Some of these health needs. Here's the scripture. You know, if we fast and pray, again, I'd like to bring out that we don't hide ourselves from our own flesh. These brothers and sisters who have had a breakdown of health, they're flesh and blood just like you and I. Just like you and I. They face things that are difficult. In their breakdown. And they're at a place of great difficulty. Great physical difficulty. Let's not hide ourselves from our own flesh and blood this weekend. But enter in. Enter into fasting and prayer and seeking God for them. When I'm reminded of Hebrews, it says in Hebrews that, you know, the testimony of the saints in Hebrews 11, you don't have to turn there, but just real quickly here, by faith it says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword." And one of these is, "out of weakness were made strong." Out of weakness were made strong. By faith. By faith. Out of weakness, some men, some women were made strong. Then it says, "women received their dead raised to life again." I mean, come on, brother and sister. We're not entering into a fast to that one might be raised from the dead. But surely, if by faith women receive their dead raised to life again, surely by faith we can enter in for those who are sick and weak among us. God's quickening power is able to. I mean, these brothers and sisters, they know the Lord. Christ's Spirit is within them. Surely He's able to raise them up. Quicken their mortal bodies to a place of health and healing and wholeness. So I believe another reason, like I said, for fasting and prayer is for the health of those among us. God's heart brings out in the Old Testament, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." And please, brothers and sisters, don't take me wrong. I understand God uses sometimes His purposes where there's a breakdown of health. Nevertheless, I believe God's general heart is to show Himself strong in this area of healing and health and wholeness. As I see it in the Scripture. I mean, the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." In 3 John, it says, the Apostle John, and this is the New Testament. The Apostle John said that, Yeah, "beloved," this was to Gaius, "the honor unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." And I don't know if Gaius had health problems. Does somebody know that? Did somebody study that ever? I don't know if he had health problems. I didn't look into that. But it says, "the honor unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." And this was a beloved brother, a beloved child of God. He says, "the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius." And I'd like to say, those brothers and sisters among us, they're beloved brothers and sisters. We love them. We care for them. Amen. Let's go into this weekend with this kind of care. Entering into prayer and fasting. And humbling ourselves before the Lord. That this might be their experience. Look at verse 2. "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." I'm reminded of Paul Hathaway. Aunt Miriam told me that last Sunday, that Paul Hathaway, how many know Paul Hathaway in China? He was here back a number of years ago. He's a missionary to China. And I was told that he had a stroke recently, a major, massive stroke. But from what Miriam said, I didn't read the article or anything, but from what I understand, through the prayers of God's people, he's being raised up. He's being raised up. Mobility is coming back into his limbs. And I don't know if he's in full health yet, but that's what I understood from our sister last week. Beloved, let us ponder these things as we enter into a fast.
Let's ponder these things. There's sick among us. There's sickly. There's breakdowns of health among us. Let's ponder these things.
Okay, the last point. Turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 9. I guess what I would like to say this morning is I would like this fast to be more than our needs being met, but I would love to see us gain ground. I would love to see us gain some ground in the positive aspects of the kingdom of God, or if I can say it that way, in not just needs being met, but us being propelled forward.
Amen.
As a church. Daniel chapter 9, verse 2 and 3. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Look in the next verse. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Again, this was Daniel fasting, seeking the Lord, humbling himself before God. For what reason? What reason? And that's what I'd like to bring out here. Verse 21 and 23. 21 to 23 in the same chapter. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee. For thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. This point that I'd like to bring out now is that we spent some time in fasting and prayer for revelation. Simply for revelation. But God gives us some revelation as a congregation. During our time together, God gives us some revelation on a direction. Forward. I mean, here Daniel was, he was fasting and praying, not for necessary. I mean, he did confess the sins of Israel, but he also desired to see the things of God concerning Israel, concerning their future. And that's my heart and desire. I believe we can also set aside a time of fasting and prayer for revelation. But God would give us some fresh revelation. He would meet with us in that way, quickening His Spirit to our hearts. Causing you, amen, sons and daughters to prophesy over this time. You know, the Bible says that, in the last days I will pour out my Spirit and my sons and my daughters shall prophesy. My heart is, sisters, if God gives you a word of prophecy, somehow the Lord would use everyone among us, whatever way He desires. Because we live in the days of wickedness and evil. I'm just reminded of that more and more. One of my fellow ministers was sharing that down in Texas there, you know, if they're looking at some of the churches there where there's gay marriages being held, that they have to give their sermons to like the mayor. And if they don't follow through with the direction given from the government council, there's a threat of imprisonment. I mean, brothers, sisters, we are at the verge, at the brink, I believe. I mean, it could, you know, I don't know how long, but we are heading for persecution. There is no doubt. And I just want to prepare us. Let's allow God's Spirit to be poured out among us. That God can be seen in this our day. God can be seen in the nations. God can be seen in our communities. The power of God. And you young people, God has ordained it. You young men see visions. You young men see visions. For the kingdom of God. For the sake of God's glory. That your light as young men might shine forth in this day. And young people can look up on and say, there's hope for me. There's hope. Multitudes are dying. Young people committing suicide because they feel like there's no hope. Life, what's life all about? Young people, God wants to pick you up and use you for the glory of His kingdom. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. Cause you to be full of the Holy Ghost in this day. The brightness of the glory of the Lord would shine forth from your heart and lives. I was so touched the other evening. So touched at camp. I went to see those slides, and I know some of you probably heard this, those of you who were there. And I'm not sure if this was a young person or not, but you know, they have this billboard ministry. And there was a caller. There was someone who called in and left a voice message. He was desperate for help. They recorded the voice. They put the voice message across the speaker system on Friday evening, probably on Saturday too. And this young man, this man was desperate for help. Left a voice message. By the time one of the telecounselors got back to him, he had ended his life. That was so touching to me. You know, when there's hope in this world. There's hope in Christ. So young people, God wants to use you for His glory, to reach out to the youth of this day who are being deluded by the age that we live in. They're deluded. They're confused. Parents. We're not bringing up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I mean, the daughter and the ex-prison inmate's daughter and granddaughter who we had living in our home for a time, she just wept. She said, if only my father would have taught me the things that you're teaching me now. If only I would have known them in my youth. We live in a land right here in Lancaster County where there's delusion. People don't really clearly understand the gospel. He wants to use you young people to see visions of ministry, of outreach, of touching a soul. The power of the gospel is real in this our day. It's the power of the gospel to save, to redeem, to set free, to break the bands of wickedness, to undo those heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free. But anyway, just wanted to say that, you know, and your old men shall dream dreams. Let's allow God to pour out His Spirit. Let's ask Him this weekend to pour out His Spirit that some revelations might be given. I mean, I was looking in through the New Testament. You know, it was when Cornelius was fasting that a revelation was given him. A revelation that he was to call on the Apostle Peter. And Peter was likewise. He was hungry. What does it say about Peter? I don't have that written down, but Peter wasn't hungry. And he fell into a trance, it says. It was when he was fasting, when he was in hunger, that God gave him a revelation to go to Cornelius, to go to the door that someone was standing there, which then he was taken to Cornelius' house. It was after a long period of abstinence that we read in Acts 27:21. A few verses there. It was after a long period of abstinence that Paul was given an angelic message in the height of a Mediterranean storm. He was given a message when he was a soldier on that ship. It says after long periods of abstinence, I believe he was in hunger. An angel came and gave him a message. Told him everything's going to be fine. You're all going to reach land safely. He was given that revelation. The time of hunger. Amen, brothers and sisters. Do we not have need to pray for revelation in this our day? Again, God says in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. You have that opportunity, my brother and sister, upon all flesh, for the Spirit of God to be poured out upon your life. Isn't it time to beseech God that the gifts of this Spirit would be released in full measure? I feel like we lack some of the gifts among us. Let's seek Him. Let's seek Him for those gifts. God would pour out the fullness of His. I mean, if all the gifts are there, the body is operating. I see the body is totally complete. So I feel like we lack in some of the areas of gifts. Let's ask God to give us some revelation and to stir up some of the gifts this weekend in our time of fasting and prayer. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, the title of the message, I'm not sure if I even gave it, Why Should We Fast?
Well, I'd like to say, why should we not fast? Why should we not enter into a time of fasting and prayer, humbling ourselves before our God? Why should we not? When we see the evidence in the Word of God pouring out grace during times of fasting and prayer. During times when God's people drew aside for a season and besought their God. Praise God, He was entreated of them. When we see these kind of results in God's Word, why not? Let's not look at it as another thing to do and kind of put it into our lives as another activity. You know, let's not go through this weekend like that. Okay, I'm going to fast. That's my obligation to the church, so I'll fast. You're not going to gain the benefit out of it, just going through the motions of a fast. But entering in. Entering in, like Brother Luke shared this morning. You know, the two women that we took into our home for a season, they shared that we took them into our hearts. We took them into our hearts. And there's two things we could have done there. We could have taken them into our house, gave them a bed to sleep, gave them food to eat, but not really taken them into our hearts. And I believe the same is true this weekend. We can either enter this weekend by kind of being here, you know, off and on, and just kind of saying, okay, it's my obligation to fast, but not really entering in. Entering in. Entering in under the burden of it. Under the burden that we see. Of some of the reasons I brought out this morning. The need of fasting. Entering under the burden of that thing. And entering in. Entering in. A time of beseeching our God. Seeking the face of the Lord. You know, in Africa where things are at a slower pace, we saw tremendous results through fasting. I feel like in my life, I mean, God continues to slow me down in my life. That's my experience. I mean, it's a good thing. I'm still learning, but I feel like I've gone through times of fasting, you know. I try to maintain the schedule that's going on, you know, at the same time I'm fasting and I'm not really able to focus in. In Africa, where things are at a slower pace, I mean, we had results. When we came together to fast and pray, and I shared that here already, the demoniac girl who was dumb, had multiple seizures, she was completely delivered through fasting and prayer. And so, you know, let's enter into it that way, just slowing down, focusing in, draw aside from the busyness of life. And I know maybe not everyone can quit their jobs. I'm not saying that. And I'd like to say this. You know, maybe not everyone can enter into a complete fast. Or maybe you have a physical infirmity that does not allow you even to fast. That's fine. You can still enter in. You can still enter in. I mean, if you can do a partial fast because of work and so forth. I mean, Daniel, he went to at least one of those accounts. It was a partial fast. He abstained from meat and good bread and delicacies as such. You know, he went through a partial fast and God gloriously worked through that. So it doesn't have to be necessarily a complete fast, but I do want to say a complete fast is abstinence from food. And I believe, as I see the Scripture, it's water. You're drinking. You're taking in water only, if I can say it that way. That's how what I believe in Scripture brings is brought out about a complete fast. Well, in closing here, we welcome you to all, and I'd like to say this, we welcome you to all bring your burdens. I'm bringing out some things this morning. You know, I want this time to be where I'm bringing some of the burdens of my heart as a pastor. But come with your burdens. We want us all to be able to enter in together. Maybe you have a specific burden you'd even like to bring out in our time of sharing here after the message. But come. Come with your burden. My heart is that we can enter into one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear you one another's burdens. So come with your burden. Come with your need. We welcome you. Amen. Welcome all to bring the burdens of your heart and enter into a season of humbling ourselves before our God.
The Bible says they that mourn shall be comforted. Not maybe. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So like I said, however the Lord leads you to enter into this fast, I would like to say this morning, we are proclaiming a fast. We're proclaiming a fast. We're proclaiming a fast that we might afflict ourselves before our God, that we might seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones, that our lives would be sanctified, that health and healing might take place in our midst, and we might be given revelation in how to proceed and be more effective as a congregation here at Charity Christian Fellowship. So amen, brother and sister. God bless you all. May we enter in. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Mal, for that encouragement to enter in fasting. Looking back at Isaiah 58 there, I remember a message Brother Denny gave years ago, still stands out in my mind. If you fast, like it says here, there's numerous places where it says, if you take away the midst to be the point of the finger, if you take away the yoke, if you draw out your soul, if you do this, then. And the very clear message that he preached was, if, then. If, then. Very clear. If I could just draw a little bit of a diagram on the board here. Maybe just give a real simple, basic understanding of what happens when we abstain from food in our physical body. This is kind of what my understanding is on this issue. As I think of the body and the soul and the spirit, which is what we're made up of, when the body, the flesh, is strong, then it tends to override and overpower the spirit. When the spirit is strong, then it tends to overrule the flesh. And I've drawn this before, I believe, just simply if I can make these circles here. If in the center here is our spirit, and that's where the life of Christ dwells within us. And then this part here is the soul. And then this is more like the flesh or the body on the outside. When our body is in control, then it tends to quiet the spirit. And the spirit, because the flesh is against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, that we cannot do that which we want to do, which comes out of the soul. And our soul is where our will is. That's where we choose. That's where the battle is. The spirit says to fast. The body says, the flesh says, nope, don't want to fast. So the battle is in my will. When I choose to weaken this flesh through abstinence of food, then my spirit will be strengthened. Especially if I feed the Spirit really well with the Word of God and with prayer. And I enter in. That will strengthen my spirit, which in turn will bring new life to my being. That makes sense? Purpose of fasting. Another thought I have here is, what are the things that we... In this passage, it also gives some real clear direction or instructions of what to fast for. Is not this the fast that I've chosen to do specific things? And so I believe God is inviting us to be very specific about what we want. Do we have a specific problem? If so, then let's fast for that. Let's name some of those things. Let's put them out there. that father in that Mel talked about that had a son who was possessed, what did he do? He had a need and he came. He came to Jesus. He did something about it. He stood up, took that son, and he went to Jesus. He came. Maybe you're here this morning and you know that you have a great need in your lives. Would you be willing to come like that? Would you be willing to go to Jesus or to those disciples and say, I've got this need? Would you be willing to come and stand up in front of us, the rest of the body here, and say, I have a need. Please include my specific need in your prayer and fasting this next week. So there's specific things to fast for, and I really appreciate what Mel brought out about not just doing it as a religious thing. Yes, I could go through this weekend, next weekend of fasting, just skipping food. Is that what we're talking about? The basic picture is abstinence, right? Abstinence from what? What is the first one? Absence, can't really abstain from my flesh, but what is the first thing we abstain from? We do without. Food. So we abstain from food. Okay? Are there any other things that we should abstain from? Sin. Yes, sin. I'm thinking very specific things.
Doing your own pleasure, seeking pleasure.
Pleasure. Think about that. That's what it says. That's what the scripture says. Pleasure. I remember hearing about people who would fast from TV for a day, or they would fast from TV for a week. That just really kind of struck me odd. I never was addicted to TV. I didn't need to fast from TV. Maybe there are other things that we should consider to abstain from. So what if I abstain from food, but I play sports instead? Or what do we all have lined up here? I bury myself in my business just to kill the time? Or what are some things that would be, that might be good for us to consider abstaining from, besides food and pleasure?
Work.
Okay. Anyone else? What are the things that you're bound by or that take up your time? Yes.
Sports.
Sports. Okay.
Gadgets.
That doesn't look quite right. Gadgets. Anything else?
Social life or activity.
Social. Okay. So if I don't eat food, I'll sit down and I'll spend hours doing this. How much time do you spend in the day on this machine? And instead, what else could I do instead? I could feed my spirit. And so the key thing we need to understand is, I can feed my flesh or I can feed my spirit. And if we have a great need, if we have a burden, if we enter into this thing, we really, these things should fade away during that time especially. That's my encouragement. And devour chapters or books of the Bible during that time. Just some thoughts for you. Because we can easily be distracted without realizing it. We're recommending for 3 days of fasting. Is there something significant about 3 days? I think there is. I think there is, in many times in the Bible, they fasted 3 days. In Esther, it was a 3-day fast. And it was after the 3rd day of fasting, then there was deliverance. So, to me, it's a picture of the resurrection.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.